Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So it says, for it was fitting for who? For him. Who is him? That is Jesus. It's capitalized, and it's fitting for what's going on in the situation, so that we know that it was Jesus. What was fitting for him? For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom. So two big prepositions there, for whom and by whom, for and by. Everything was created for Jesus. Everything was created by Jesus. Does that make him egotistical? No, he is God, right? He created us to worship him, to be in fellowship, to be in communion with him. And to do that, we must be holy and righteous. Because you are a sinner, you cannot make yourself holy and righteous. I cannot make myself holy and righteous. I can't pray a certain number of prayers. I can't pray certain words. I can't pray in a certain direction. I can't make a confessional in a booth to a man in cloth. It is impossible to make yourself holy and righteous. Only God can cleanse you and make you holy and righteous so that we can glorify our Creator. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are justified. Then we are covered with the blood of Jesus. Then we are made perfect. Our sin, our scarlet red sin, is made as white as snow. All right? That's what that is. So for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. So he created us. We are created beings. God is not a created being. Angels are a created being, or beings, however you say that. And we are created beings, but he wants to be in fellowship with us. So now, how awesome is that, that he created us and wants to be with us? He wants to be in fellowship and in communion and relationship with us. That's unbelievable. We're, little people, little creation. We have finite minds. God has an infinite mind. He lives in the past, present, and future all at the same time. We can only live right here thinking about things that have happened in the past, dreaming about things that might happen in the future. Some of those make us happy, and some of those make us sad because it's fear and anxiety. God doesn't have any of that fear and anxiety or worry because he's sovereign. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Omniscient is omniscience. He is the chief scientist. So today, when people around the country and around the world try to proclaim science as a religion, Jesus is the chief scientist. Don't forget that. So how awesome that he made us, and yet he wants to hang out with us, and not only hang out with us, but he was willing to die for us. So this next part of the verse says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Who is the captain of our salvation? Well, too many people and too many religions today think they are their own captain of their own salvation. They're like, well, I feel like I'm not a bad person, and therefore I deserve eternity, whatever that looks like. I am benchmarked against Saddam Hussein and Hitler, and because I'm better than them, I will pass the curve, and the teacher, the professor, whoever that may be, will give me a passing grade, and I'll be able to get my diploma in heaven, in paradise, in eternity, whatever that is. They're making their own rules. They're saying there's no such thing as sin, right? That's what a lot of atheists say. They say there's no such thing, right? What you think is right, I may think is wrong. What you think is wrong, I may think is right. But if you look around at the country and what's going on in the political realm and the social realm and everything, it's all based on feelings. And they're like, hey, y'all are not tolerant of our views, but they're intolerant of our values, right? So it's completely hypocritical and contradictory what they're saying. Whereas we, on the other hand, say, hey, we tolerate your views, but we are going to point out that it is a sin. We are going to lovingly tell you that it's a sin so that you'll see the need for a Savior. Because if you don't see that there's a sin in your life, any sin, then you're not going to think you need a Savior. And you're going to go through life not looking for hope in a God. You're going to just think that you were created through evolution, and that at the end of life you just disappear, or you clepted out of the test and you passed because you got graded on a curve or a benchmark, you were better than your benchmark or whatever it is. That's not it. You see, Jesus was perfect. He was already morally perfect. So how is it that we say that he be to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings? If he was already morally perfect, but our sin needed to be dealt with. God is a righteous God, right? God is graceful, he is merciful, and he is righteous, and he will serve justice. So some of the examples that I'll use there, mercy, the way I define it, is getting less punishment than you deserve. So you go into a judge and you are speeding or something, and the judge says, hey, your record's pretty clean, you hadn't had a ticket in 10 years, you're going 12 miles over the speed limit, I'm going to let you go, no fine, no jail time, nothing, you're free, right? That's getting mercy. It's less punishment than you deserve. And then there's the grace, which is getting more reward than you deserve, right? You go in for, you win a dollar scratch off, and you go in and the guy says, hey, we're going to give you $100 just because, you know, we want to be nice to you and know you're on hard times. We're going to give you $100. That's getting more reward than you deserve. And then there's justice, which is getting what you deserve, right? That person who rapes someone and they're clearly guilty, 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt, or kills someone. You wouldn't want them going before the judge and the judge saying, oh, you haven't done this in a while, so we're just going to let you go. No, that would be mercy, but it wouldn't be justice. Or they would say, hey, we're actually going to reward you because that person that you whatever hurt was a bad person and whatever. You know, we would want justice, right? If someone in your family was hurt by a rape or a murder or something like that, you'd probably want justice on that person, right? Not revenge, but justice, so that that person could hopefully pay their debts to society. Well, Jesus was the one who got to pay the debt for society, the true debt, the full debt of our sin. It started with one sin in the garden, Adam's, and that was enough to send all of humanity from that point forward. It's called imputed sin, to not be in the presence of God. And to not be in the presence of God is hell. That is the absence of God forever. And you want to be in the presence of God. So God sent his son, Jesus, to earth to suffer for us. And suffer he did, right? Sin had to be dealt with righteously and perfectly. And he suffered on the cross. He was humiliated. He was beat up by his own creation. And this is what it took to bring about the perfect payment to pay the cost for our sin. You get that? All right, verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. Who is he who sanctifies? That is God. Who are those who are being sanctified? Those are those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and been born again, then you have been justified, and the rest of your life you're being sanctified. The way I define sanctified is being more conformed to the character of God. All right, you start to walk the walk and talk the talk more and more as time goes on. You'll take some steps back, but you'll feel convicted about it. You'll be like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? And you start getting those head slaps, and they get closer and closer and bigger over time. And you're like, why did I just do that? Lord, help me. But you're being sanctified. You're being more conformed to the character of God. And that conviction is good to bring about repentance. And it says, are all of one. You see, he's sanctifying us. We are being sanctified, and we come together as one. It says, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying. So God, Jesus actually calls us brethren. He calls us his brothers, right? We are his brothers and sisters in Christ. How amazing is that? Now, that couldn't happen until he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin and rose from the dead. But from that point forward, anybody who accepts Jesus becomes brother of Jesus, right? Brother and sisters in Christ is what we are. Now, people who placed their faith in God and Jesus before he died on the cross, they are not part of what we would call today the church, but they still go to heaven. They just play a little bit different role, like Abraham and Moses and the like. They're not part of what we collectively call the church, quote unquote. They are in heaven, but they're not part of the church. It's just a different role. Just like Israel has a different role for Israel today than he does the rest of the world. And tomorrow we will pick up in verse 12. Lots of incredible application. Maybe one that stands out the most to me is just that God was willing to be humiliated, that he was willing to humble himself so much to actually come down, be flesh and blood, and be killed by the very people that he created. That is humility. I create something, and then that something kills me. And I didn't do it accidentally because I lost control. I did it because I wanted to. And that's what God was doing it, right? So he created us knowing that we were actually going to kill him, but that it was going to pay the price so that we could be with him for forever. That's incredible. Lord, thank you so much. Help us to think deeply about this. Help us not to just hear words and push them off, but to know that you're God. You created us. You love us enough that you are actually willing to be come to earth in flesh and blood as part of the creation that you created and be killed by the creation that you created. We are so sorry that that had to happen. We are so grateful, though, that you chose to do that for us and give us a way to be with you perfectly in heaven forever. And we look forward to that day, Lord, but help us to use this day to tell others about you. Just as someone told us about you before, help us today to tell someone about you. Amen.